Welcome to Staging Business Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Janet Davis. I'm also a trained musician, actor, and dancer. But most importantly for our conversation, I'm a seasoned expert in nonprofit administration with a specialty in working with leadership teams and boards at arts and cultural organizations. My mission is to make sure that the artists of our time have everything they need to make our hearts beat faster, bring us peace, help us find something in common with someone else, thrill us with athleticism and talent, or tell a story that needs to be told in a way that all of us can understand. I've learned over the years that the tricky business of creativity is often underplanned, underdeveloped, and underled. And if we don't do anything about it, the theaters, orchestras, museums, art halls, and dance companies that are telling the stories of our communities will not survive. We're here to help the administrators, the leaders behind the scenes, the managing directors, financial directors, development directors, facilities teams, and marketers. We will pull back the curtain on a topic important to our listeners. Whether you are a member of the leadership team, a board member, or a staff member, our objective is to help you have your best ideas yet as we shine a spotlight on various challenges and opportunities of arts management. Strategy, operational planning, earned and contributed income, technology, and facilities, to name a few. I'm Janet Davis, and this is Staging Business Behind the Scenes. Join me as we master the business of creativity. Welcome to Episode 1, Putting It Together. I remember being on a call 4 years ago with my friends James Gilson and Alex Torini. We were meeting regularly to talk about a book we were envisioning about raising money for arts organizations. The pandemic was just starting to take hold. On one of our calls, I could tell that we were all rattled by what was happening in the world, not only in general, but more specifically about the challenges we knew were coming in our industry. It was clear that things were going to change. I called a friend in the for-profit theater production business and asked him how they were going about their planning. Productions would be delayed, but not canceled. Productions might be canceled, have shorter runs, smaller theaters would be chosen as venues. Our conversation ranged widely. This was early in the pandemic, before we knew that shuttered venue and PPP and other financial support would be available to arts and cultural organizations. And we agreed on the probability that we could be in a real moment of reckoning, that the pandemic might cause a significant shift in our industry. We were scared, and we wondered if the art form we had trained in and loved for decades would be reduced to large organizations that had big brands and big audiences. We realized that many small regional and community theaters might close, and we feared for our artist friends and colleagues and their families. And then, just like that, we were proven wrong. For what seems now like a second, money flowed in. Major donors, mass appeals, foundation, and eventually government support reached record levels as audiences realized that arts organizations were truly threatened. We breathed a sigh of relief. But in mid-2021, just when the industry thought everything was going to be all right and we were opening back up, many leaders missed warning signs that were developing all around us. The audiences who had been so dedicated to our survival didn't come back. I attended a meeting with a for-profit marketing executive from a major entertainment organization that had conducted a study of their audiences. The result was sobering. People had changed their habits, and attendance at plays, exhibitions, and concerts was going to take a long time to return to pre-pandemic levels. There are many stories being covered in the news now about how the nonprofit arts and cultural sector is changing. Data from a National Endowment for the Arts study from March 2023 observes that 10 industries in the arts and culture sector saw gains in 2021, but as of 2023 had not returned to 2019 levels. This group includes independent writers, artists and performers, performing arts organizations, theatrical ticket agencies, musical instrument manufacturers, and fine arts education, excluding public schools. And two industries that saw persistent declines from 2019 through 2021 are arts-related construction, such as the construction and renovation of libraries, museums, and other cultural facilities, and philanthropic services, which includes grant-making and giving. In an August 2023 article published by All Arts, Michael Kaiser, chairman of the DeVos Institute of Arts Management, who has also run and consulted many performing arts organizations, is quoted, noting that some institutions used pandemic money to report balanced budgets without addressing underlying issues, including shrinking audiences and donor pools. Quote, I think what it did is it masked some of the problems, or many of the problems, faced by arts organizations before COVID, he said. The article goes on to report that, in fact, 62% of organizations budgeted for a deficit in fiscal year 2023. That's more than double the number of respondents who had a shortfall the previous year, according to a 2022 survey conducted by the nonprofit Theater Communications Group. While the data is incomplete, we can see that a majority of theaters are projecting a deficit budget again heading into the new fiscal year, said Teresa Eyring, TCG's executive director and CEO. Additionally reported in fiscal year 2023, individual ticket sales for New York independent theaters were down more than 63% compared to 2019, according to data provided by Andrew Block, manager of off and off-off Broadway series services at Theater Development Fund, and the number of their productions has decreased by 42%. There is no question that many aspects of the business model of the American creative culture have been stressed, in many ways driven by positive change that had been needed for years, but for which the timing was not favorable. There's been intense desire to produce more work addressing social justice. Artists in every specialty have turned to their unions and demanded fair pay, healthy work environments, better technology. As a result, operating assumptions that had been embraced by all sizes of arts organizations have been called into question. What we know for sure is that it is clear that in this dynamic world, we must adapt. This is why I launched Staging Business Behind the Scenes. It is time for arts administrators to plan differently, team differently, and do differently. There's plenty of hope. We will need strength, intelligence, and bravery. We will need all of us to show up with our best creative problem-solving skills. We will need to reprioritize how we think about arts administration. Our work behind the scenes is worthy of investment and excellence. So here we begin. I hope this podcast will introduce you to people, provide actionable ideas and information, and inspire you to play live every day. That's a teaser for episode 2. Whether you are at the beginning of your career as an arts administrator or a veteran, I look forward to supporting you in your work. Let's start with the origin story that drives your presence. By this, I mean, what is it that caused you to be here, to still be here, or to be thinking about being here? And here refers to working in or volunteering for a nonprofit arts and cultural organization. For many of you, art is the motivator. You might very well be artists, and many others of you might not be. But regardless, everyone is creative in their own way, and being in tune with your creative origin story will be a critical element of your ability to thrive and use your superpowers for good. It will also be important when it comes to understanding and communicating with the artists who work with you, the students and teachers you support, and the audiences you serve. You likely have had some experience or opportunity that inspired you to choose your career, whether you are a writer, an accountant, or a human resources specialist. It is important to keep that motivator in the front of your brain, or to have a reminder of it close to you. It can be a quote, it can be an image, or a token. I have a couple things that I call up when I need them. At the ballet, from A Chorus Line, Portia's speech, The Quality of Mercy, from The Merchant of Venice, and a surprising exhibition called First Sculpture from Hand Axe to Figure Stone that we presented at the Nasher Sculpture Center. All of those have served. But the one I reference the most is a quote by author and playwright Reynolds Price. I learned of his work when I performed in one of his plays in college, and I remain a devoted fan today. He said, quote, "A need to tell and hear stories is essential to the species Homo sapiens. Second in necessity, apparently, after nourishment and before love and shelter. Millions survive without love or home, almost none in silence. The opposite of silence leads quickly to our narrative, and the sound of story is the dominant sound of our lives, from the small accounts of our day's events to the vast, incommunicable constructs of psychopaths." End quote. Think about that for a minute. Millions survive without love or home, almost none in silence. The opposite of silence leads quickly to narrative, and the sound of story is the dominant sound of our lives. When I consider the importance of what Price means with this statement, I am reminded of what I believe to be the existential importance of creativity in our lives. It is the why of what I do. It reflects my origin story. Even so, it took me a while to embrace the idea that my contribution to the basic human need of creativity was as or more important as a consultant and an administrator as it might have been as an artist. And only when I finally accepted those things as my superpowers. And consistently reminding myself of the why is not only important when faced with the beautiful madness of day-to-day life at arts and cultural organizations, it is also important because it helps the artists I support trust me. Here's a suggestion. Between now and next month, think about your origin story. How are you reminding yourself of your why? Are you sharing it with anyone? Maybe ask someone you work with about their origin story. Try asking your board. It's a wonderful tool to find what we have in common with the people whom we trust with our professional development, ambitions, and impact. Let's touch briefly on board members for a moment. We will have a full episode coming soon about the important relationship with and between board members. But for now, I have a quick story that illustrates the power of an origin story for all of the participants in our work. I was facilitating a board meeting for a theater that was undergoing a change in its leadership structure, and part of that was inviting new board members to the table. Some of their veteran board members were exactly that. Veterans of the United States Armed Forces. They were active citizens with this theater that was embedded in the mid-sized growing town where they lived and worked, and so they took their role on the board very seriously, and they saw it as a civic, not necessarily an artistic, pursuit. Enter a new board member, a very stylish, creative, passionate human who brought resources, new ideas, and love for the art form to the group. Needless to say, they did not have a lot in common. We convened a strategic planning meeting to discuss and document the future. I conducted an exercise to feature everyone's origin stories, asking each participant in the meeting to bring a saying or quote, a piece of prose or musical lyrics to share. When it was their turn, the new board member stood and recited the words to our national anthem. The room was electric. When she finished, I asked her why the lyrics were important to her. She said, "Because our freedom is everything we have, and it's what allows us to do what we do." In that moment, all the barriers, misunderstandings, and mistrusts between the veterans and the new board members were forgotten. The origin stories and the values became the glue that held them together, and the meeting went very well. Now, let's think about how you show up. If you've explored the concept of showing up before, you might have discovered Ben Zander. His Art of Possibility is a great go-to reminder for how behaviors and practice make a difference in setting the stage for transformational impact, whether you are a performer, administrator, life partner, or friend. One of his 12 practices in the book is called Being the Board, meaning, in brief, you can show up as a game piece, or you can show up as the board on which a game is played. I interpret this as show up as the board, and you offer yourself as stability, opportunity, and possibility for the team. Serve as a game piece, and you risk limiting your impact to your own role. It's also so important for us to show up managing the delicate balance of not taking ourselves too seriously with being taken very, very seriously. To that end, I suggest identifying and recruiting the people in your life who support you in those two conflicting ideas. The people who remind you that you are perfectly, humorously imperfect, and the people who remind you that your experience and expertise are extraordinary. I challenge you to show up as an inspiration to the people around you. Bringing positive energy and a commitment to learning and teaching can bridge a communication gap, allow for new ways of problem solving, and may surprise you in the breadth and depth of its qualities. Find a way to surprise people. The final point about showing up is to do just that. Being with one another solves so many problems and is a great gift to us as humans. One of the most successful collaborations I have worked on was based on the willingness and ability of four CEOs to trust one another, and they achieved that through really knowing one another. Next, own it. Have you ever started a company, even a lemonade stand? Have you become an owner or a partner in a company through sweat equity? If you haven't, what do you feel the most ownership over in your life? How do you feel differently about that one thing than you do about everything else? It's time to reframe your approach to your organization so that you think of it with an ownership level of passion and commitment. Ask yourself every day, would you want to invest in the organization you're working for? Would you buy it if it were for sale? What would your hopes and dreams be for what it could achieve? As a nonprofit leader, if you approach every meeting and decision with the perspective that you have a share in the company, you will orient yourself the way you would be oriented if it was your own company. Focused on managing risk and managing working capital, managing cash flow, listening to the market. Ask yourself, how do I feel about the performance of this company, the financials, the product, our artists, community, and most importantly, our people? Do we have a roster of specialists that is ready and willing to meet today's needs and challenges, not yesterday's? It is likely that as a leader, you will have interactions with staff of all levels of commitment, experience, and professionalism. From artistic directors to managing directors to stage managers and curators and directors of education programs. And your words and actions will have impact on their level of engagement. Keeping the right people with you and encouraging others to be happy alumni is the most important thing you will do. Recruiting and training is expensive. Don't do it more often than you have to. You are in the HR business. Listen to your people and be thoughtful about your words. If you have a team member who is underperforming, ask yourself whether you'd be still paying this person to do this job if you were paying them out of your own pocket. And for your high-performing team members, do you have a structure and resources in place to keep them and reward them? It is a highly competitive market. And as we say in the consulting business, your best assets have brains and feet. Lastly, it is more important than ever that all of us administrators and board members attend all of our own shows and productions, and those of our sister organizations. Changed behavior begins with us. So recapturing the three things from today, find your origin story, consider how you show up, and think like an owner. Going forward, Staging Business Behind the Scenes will have monthly episodes focused on the people, ideas, information, and inspiration that will serve as critical tools for arts administrators and help their organizations thrive operationally as well as artistically. If you're ready to continue the journey, check out our next episode, Intelligent Planning in a Dynamic World. Wyatt Davis, founder and principal of Clarkson Davis, joins me for a conversation about the importance of intelligent strategic and operational planning. We'll explore a philosophy that maximizes the foundational planning elements of why, what, and how for strategic and operational plans that are driven by mission and fueled by data. Topics include planning philosophy, participants, how to create a plan that is actionable and measurable, and the importance of playing live every day. Thanks for listening. For more information, or if you'd like to talk about how we might help you with your vision and strategy, team building and organizational development, or operational planning, go to www.clarksondavis.com. Take good care of yourself and others, and I hope you get to do something creative today.